Welcome, everyone, to the Kurt Gray Podcast for Wednesday, March 6th. I'm your host, Justin Skirbo. This is episode 82. And today I'm joined by Justin Chow.
82. He's back.
And I'm joined by Liz Caetano.
What's up?
I hope all of our listeners enjoyed our episode last week where we finally got our interview with Jared. Avalanche Reviews up. Sorry that took so long. Yeah. It was a cool conversation, though. I went back and listened to it, man. Like, the excitement in our voices, I think, from being in, like, Japan and having that high was very interesting.
It was definitely a high. And meeting also Jared in person was pretty wild, too. That was such, like, an interesting, like, oh, we're going to be in Japan, and we know this one guy who is in Japan as well. Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool to record his voice? A VO specialist, I guess you would call him.
He was a very cool person.
Yeah, it was a nice one.
That is cool.
Yeah, so I hope
it was cool.
Yeah.
So I hope you all enjoyed. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. We are here this week because guess what? Final Fantasy VII Remake, Part 2, Rebirth. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is out.
Yes. Do that one again.
I just keep calling it Final Fantasy VII because it's like my assumption is that everybody knows that it's the one that everyone's playing right now.
It is pretty annoying when I go to like look stuff up and I just write Final Fantasy VII and then stuff from Remake comes up. I'm like, guys, come on.
I
know I'm not looking for that.
Yeah.
Right. Anytime I've like searched for something, which I've gotten I've been so scarce with it because like I've literally put up a bunch of, I never do this. I put all these like blocked terms on Twitter. Yeah. So if anybody hashtags it or anybody says the word Final Fantasy, like I just don't see any of that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you can do that.
Yeah. I'm not fucking around. Either. I'm like,
I also haven't gotten spoiled. Well, I guess I'm not on social media as much.
Remember when I told you about what happened with like God of War?
Yeah.
And the God of War DLC? Yeah. Yes. Where it's like, I'm not even looking for it. And it's just like, surprise, here's a boss fight. And it's like, come on, man. Like, I don't want to see that shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not playing around this time, but
yeah, especially on Twitter. I feel like it's because you're on X. I feel like you're on X more than us, and that's where lot of stuff happens. I feel like on Instagram, so it's rampant. Not much of a risk.
It is rampant. It is rampant.
But it's also like, could you expect it not to be? Like everybody's just posting where they are in life. I guess I don't know.
Well, it's the new cool thing right now. You know who's killing me though? You know who's killing me is Kyle. I love Kyle. Kyle, love you, man.
Kyle Prawl?
Yes.
From 47?
Yeah. Because like...
He was our PR agent for one of our other companies for a while.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I don't think
there you go. Nobody knows who Kyle is.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I was going to get that.
Kyle.
Yeah, he's our account manager. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He works for... Hyper smart. He's a PR rep for 47 now, which is like a major PR studio.
And they were doing and like Square Enix.
He's the PR rep for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
I thought I saw a picture of him with a Buster Sword.
Yeah, so he did like major PR on that, and he's like genuinely a huge Square Enix fan. Yeah. So he's living the dream right now.
Yeah, that is the dream.
But all of his posts are about the game, and it's like it's just him like, and he's not saying the word Final Fantasy or whatever, so it's not getting filtered or anything. But he'll just like share a bunch of like, you should be doing this, this, and this. I'm like, do not tell me. Like,
start a YouTube channel though.
Or like he'll like put like the results of like a Queen's Blood game, and he'll be like, check out how high my score got. And I'm just like, don't even I get it. It's not a spoiler, but it's also like I just don't want to know.
That's
so
funny because I have screenshotted. I've been very proud of some of my Queen's Blood plays. That's hilarious. I didn't know anybody else was doing that. I was just doing that for myself.
You should follow Kyle and look at all the stuff that he's posted about. I'm sure it won't hinder your experience whatsoever. But we'll get into Final Fantasy shortly. There has been some other news this week.
Let's go into the news first.
New PlayStation Plus titles. There was an Xbox partner conference earlier today, which it was like, I mean...
You watched the entire thing?
I did... And it was pretty mid the whole way through.
When it says partners, they're talking about the studios that they have acquired, right?
They're talking about non-first party people that are making stuff on their platform.
So the opposite.
Yeah. Literally the opposite. Yeah. The only other option.
Yeah.
So I'm just like...
partners, not part of Xbox.
Right. There was like a couple of cool games on there. So even if I told you the names of these games, it wouldn't really like ring anything. There's one game that's called Sleight of Hand that looked really cool. It's
Can you give me concepts?
It's a noir stealth game where you play as a girl who can like do this weird like hand card magic. Hmm. It looked really cool. That one I thought was interesting. They announced the first DLC for Persona 3... Reload.
Mm. Wow, that's fast.
Which I think is like...
I mean, these are not Xbox exclusive titles. Yeah.
No, but they have a big marketing push for that game in particular because it's on Game Pass.
Okay. But like these ones that you're this list that you're going through and like what was in the conference.
None of them said exclusive. Okay. Some of them said were like new game announcements. And like they didn't have anything but Xbox and PC in like the end slate, but like I don't know. They're probably not going to put a PlayStation logo in their conference if they don't have to, you know? So the big game that they were talking about was, and here we go, I mentioned it before, Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess, which is that Capcom game, single-player game set in Japanese-inspired universe, which follows the tradition of truly unique titles such as Okami, Shinsaki, Into the Depths, according to its publisher.
And thank you for that read.
It looks cool, but I don't know. Actually, Chao, if you...
Sorry, what's it called again?
It thanks. It's called Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess.
I gotcha. Yeah.
There you go.
Chao, if there was any game that I think you would take an interest in, check out this game called The First Berserker, Kazan. I think you would dig that. It looks very Souls-like.
The Kunitsu game is pretty interesting. What was it called? The other one?
It's called The First Berserker Kazan. It's just got a very unique style. It looks like Bloodborne, kind of, but like a little bit more action-y. If you could see like gameplay.
Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah, it looks pretty dope.
That does look pretty cool.
But that was kind of like it. So I wasn't
really.
Well,
this is coming out for PlayStation.
The First Berserker?
No.
Kunitsu?
Kunitsu is, yeah. Yeah, it's Capcom.
I only watched the first game. On that,
which I think was Ava or something.
Yeah. But I thought it was very interesting because I don't think I've ever seen a game or played a game with like a pretty heavily like Indian accented game.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it just felt different and weird. But otherwise, I don't know.
Yeah. I think it was interesting. I'm surprised that it got like almost no fanfare before it happened.
Yeah.
Like I literally was just like on YouTube and I was like, oh, this is like an official Xbox thing that dropped 9 hours ago and it's half an hour long. Like what?
Yeah.
So, nah, I don't know.
Do you think it was like a response to what's been happening with Xbox?
I don't think so. I think it was probably just something that was in the docket, you know? They probably just had something that was happening.
I wonder why they didn't do more advertisement for it though.
It is peculiar. I think people are just kind of down on Xbox right now. I don't know.
How many views of that?
I mean, I feel like it could only... If they think they had good things to say, like, what's the negative to...
Well, where else would they blow it up on? Like, I'm trying to think why maybe I didn't hear about it beforehand. How many views did it have?
300,000. I don't really know. I mean, you would expect something to be on Twitter, and you would expect to hear buzz around it because people would be excited about it. But it could be that second part... doesn't exist.
Yeah, like I mean I would expect like news outlets to be covering the fact that they're like, and that's where I would have heard about it is because
maybe they
didn't, it got swept under something else
maybe
because everyone's freaking out about Final Fantasy. Maybe we're all just playing too much Final Fantasy and not reading much news.
I mean I'm definitely not reading any news. I have not been paying attention whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm pretty deep into Final Fantasy.
The only other thing that I wanted to mention before we get into what we're playing was new PlayStation Plus titles, Essential, dropped, and most of them are pretty inconsequential, except for Sifu. So if you haven't played Sifu yet, get Sifu for free.
Game
is awesome.
It was so good.
Apparently, they updated it a bunch since we played it. Like, apparently, there's all kinds of new modes and different things that you can do. Like,
interesting.
Yeah.
Probably not enough to get me to play it right now.
There's a lot going on right now.
There's too many things.
Dude, and it keeps stacking up. I'm actually really stoked for that game, Unicorn Overlord.
Yeah, me too.
I really want to play that game.
I watched maybe like one
game. You know when that game comes out? Tomorrow.
No!
Yeah. Isn't that a joke? Or no, not tomorrow. Tomorrow's 7, 8. It comes out on the 8th, Friday.
Oh my God. Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Sorry bro.
Ridiculous. What are you going to get it on? Are you going to get it? PlayStation?
I'm probably going to get it on PlayStation, but there's no way I'm going to play it until after Final Fantasy. And it's like, dude, I have so many games stacked up. It's like after Final Fantasy. So this was super under the radar, but that game Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Okay.
The remake of that game came out. So I picked that up, waiting to play that. I want to play more of Pacific Drive, which I played briefly, and Persona, obviously.
Zero of Persona.
It's all just stacking up. It's such an issue.
Yeah.
And also, I've weirdly wanted to play the new Tekken. I don't know why.
A lot of people have been talking about it.
You have enough going on?
No.
I'm only interested in Tekken because of how excited other people are into Tekken. I've never been like interested.
Yeah. I know a lot of people that are talking about it. Not to mention Helldivers. I had like two people hit me up to play Helldivers.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I still see people playing.
I would play it.
dude. I got a mission right now.
Yes.
And it's to meet Sephiroth.
So let's get into what we're playing. How should we start this? I mean, like, obviously we don't want to get into any sort of like spoiler territory.
We're all at different spots,
you know?
I think we can talk
solidified
roughly
my...
what area you're in. I mean, I don't think the fact that... You know,
I can talk about
Junon
the concepts.
Is a surprise in the game or a spoiler,
whoa,
right?
Whoa. Slow down. All right. I'm not going to use any particular names, but I have been training myself for this podcast primarily just to talk about concepts of things that I am delighted about and things that I am not delighted about.
Yeah.
Took that word from me. I said delighted.
When?
When we first talked about it.
Oh, maybe. Maybe that's why. I mean, I don't know.
I know chapter numbers. What chapter numbers are you guys on?
6.
Okay, I'm on 7.
Yeah, I'm on, I think, 7.
I think,
or
yeah, I think we're all 8. Actually pretty, Justin and I talked about this earlier. I think we're all in a pretty similar space.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's great. I mean, so far, like, honestly.
Short answer?
Yeah. I'll kick us off, I guess.
Yeah.
Obviously, expectations very high for a game mm-hmm. like this, but I guess I didn't really like put it into perspective before, like we started. I knew that it was going to be good based on the demo that we played, as far right. as like how it looks and feels, and like hearing the music again and all that, and all that has been just sublime. But I'm most pleased, most delighted by a lot of small things that were not evident in that demo. The main things that I'd want to mention are just the ways that it shares similarities with Final Fantasy IX in like a lot of ways, like okay. weapon mastering and Queen's Blood and all this kind of stuff. Like,
yeah, there's well, just, weapon mastering was in the original, was in,
it was
the,
in the
remake.
Remake.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
But yeah, Queen's Blood. Now that you mentioned it, Queen's Blood is kind of similar to
Tetramaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot more logical than Tetramaster. I'd say
yeah.
it's almost like the perfect blend between
what like
Tetramaster. They didn't explain to you Tetramaster at all.
Yeah.
Even if they did, nobody
can
understand how
it works. Just throw in random cards on the board and hope and get things would happen.
It's hexadecimal code. Nobody knows how to read that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's... there's just a lot of very pleasant things about this. And right now... I mean, there's a couple of points in the story where it's like things are happening that I don't quite understand, but it's just kind of like, okay, we're just going to accept this and let it keep going.
Yeah.
But I am pleased with how...
I'm not as familiar. I don't really remember the original story, like beat for beat. Like yeah. how close does it seem to be? Okay.
It's been particularly delightful to me
yeah.
that they take all of the... Like, I'm glad that they... had the roadmap and that they're following the roadmap. Literally, like, the major and minor points are being hit and or like if not hit, talked about and right. mentioned. Yeah. Like you feel it. And I'm happy about that.
And you can tell in certain segments where they'll like take something that was like that was in the original Final Fantasy, but then they kind of like zoom in on it.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The character at the beginning of Under Junin, right? That mm-hmm. that woman. Mm-hmm. It's like
yeah.
she's there and she talks to you in the first game, but it's kind of like just this moment that matters in the moment and then doesn't going forward.
Yeah.
So then to turn her into a real character yeah. and like, you know, have this sort of interaction, yeah. it's just nice to see stuff
or
like that.
Even, I think
that's kind of similar to the first game, right?
Yeah, big time.
I mean, the whole like zoom in on Midgar was all
yeah.
You know
what's fascinating and what I really, really appreciate is that whenever I'm playing this game, I can remember and also like I can think about their polygon figures of yeah. them, and it is fantastic how they put those like shoulder pads and the shape of them
yeah.
into a high definition character.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of that. Like, there's been a lot of moments where you're like, I remember this character from the original game, very minor character, but now I'm talking to them and they knew that I would remember this particular person
yeah.
or this particular interaction. And yeah. they're like showing it to me in high def, you know, in like a 2024 way.
It's also fun because I feel like they've taken some ideas and sort of ran with them from the original game where it's like people remembered or liked this and mm-hmm. kind of like took it to the next logical step
yeah.
and then other things they were just like we're going to acknowledge this but just kind of leave it alone
yeah.
like the example that comes to mind, I guess we're in minor spoiler territory.
God,
that happened fast.
I mean like
no in Under Junin, right
yeah.
like when you're doing the dolphin thing
yeah
like I remember the stupid breathing minigame.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone hated that. So it was like when you thought it was going to happen in this, it's just like, God damn it. And then they're like, nope, we're just going to pretend like, you know what's supposed to happen here. We're just going to leave that alone and walk away. And it's like, thank you for...
It's funny that you mentioned that because like I didn't even think about hating that particularly, even though I do remember it being frustrating. I think like that is a perfect moment to like zoom in on, because you do know how that's like that scene or those particular scenes are supposed to play out.
Yeah.
From like the dolphin and the whatever, and like how do you get to the top of Juden? Yeah. And like you know how that's supposed to be, and they like stick to that script. And even with the like the breathing, you know, trying to resuscitate whoever, having a nod to it is all I want. I just want that to be there.
Totally. I find all of that to be very faithful and nice. And then the deviations that they are taking from the original story, I'd almost say at this point, right, like seven chapters in, I feel like remake. The first, like, Final Fantasy VII Remake took way more liberties and changes
than
the original one, with, like, the whispers like, Cloud's in an apartment in, you know, Midgar and all this stuff. It's like, a lot of that was, like, kind of massaging the story to make it work with this new framework. This is more like, no, this is actually what...
This is what you wanted.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, so... But there's a lot to love.
You know what's... What's also really interesting, like when we talk about remake specifically with the whispers and like the deviation of like potential timelines and like alternate dimensions, like there's like touching on this very like strongly. And then in the beginning of this game, they're like, oh, that's still here, but this is the journey that you're going on right now. And that journey is like the Final Fantasy VII that you had back in 1997.
Yeah.
I do really appreciate though that they are giving you all this, and then there's a very light lens of like, oh, but there is something that's different about this game that you will be surprised about later. And that's, I feel like, some of the moments that you're mentioning where you're like, I'm just gonna store this for later because I feel like it'll be explained.
Totally.
Yeah. At no point while I'm playing am I thinking like, I feel like at any point they could change something.
Yeah.
Even though it has been faithful, I'm like, wait for that moment where I'm like, nope.
But even that open world,
I see something's happening.
There are certain moments where like I really can't think of a better way to frame this than like calling it like a Kingdom Heartsism, where it's like something will happen where like in the Junin section, I don't know if you'll remember this section that I'm talking about, but like a major character is like sitting in a chair, and then some other character just is in the room with them and then is like talking to them like that we should know who they are. And like they're having this like big like conversation. And I'm like, who the fuck are you?
That was a Kingdom Hearts moment.
It's like
the robed guy.
They're interacting like this is something that like I should know where this person came from or what their motivations are or what they're doing. And they're just like having a conversation as if it's understood. But it's like, I've literally never seen you before. Like, I don't know who
you are. It wasn't a remake.
No.
I don't remember what point you're talking about.
He's talking about, I know. He's talking about the visit of the president and then like some character coming in with a robe. And he had no shoes on too, which is weird.
Yeah, when President Shinra is sitting.
Rufus. Fucking Rufus.
When Rufus is in, like when he arrives at Junin, and then there's a cutscene where he's like sitting in his like office or whatever, and then somebody comes in and says,
oh, hey, so I'm thinking under Junin.
No.
All right.
So it's like that person, it's like, I don't know who this person is.
And also, you're having too complicated of
a conversation where it's like, I'm not going to remember all the details of this conversation so that when and if you describe who this person is later, it's going to be hard for me to really remember the context of this. Because you're talking about like, oh, you owe me this and my father that. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, what is happening here? I did actually Google that afterwards, and that person is somebody, but it won't make any sense.
In what game?
Before Crisis.
Yeah, I figured.
I mean,
and
it might.
Like, what?
I figured it had to do with some weird.
Nobody knows that.
Yeah.
It might make sense later when we get to.
Well, that's kind of what I'm hoping for. Like, that's.
I mean, honestly, like, somebody that fitted it out didn't remember the original game and didn't remember what that person was in it. Like, I didn't know what was going on. And I was like, oh, I'm sure this will come up again later. Like, I wasn't like. I don't know. I'm looking at it from a different lens, I guess, because I'm not like waiting for things to happen.
Yeah.
Well, kind of accepting them as they come.
Well, it's almost like
I have no expectations, I guess.
I don't think I'm necessarily waiting for things to happen,
right,
but I'm noticing the things that didn't happen before.
Right. Yeah.
So like that interaction was not in the original game.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is new. Like you're showing me how this story is changing. And it's like, I want to make sense of that. I need to see how that contextualizes in this version of the story. And it's just kind of hard. That is an example of where it didn't gel with me in the moment.
Okay. So zooming back out again, but I will say, let's bookmark this because I do want to talk to you about this after the podcast. Sorry, listeners, because I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But on the side of that, like that was the only moment where I was like, this is something that I'm really not understanding. Mm-hmm. But now that I start thinking about it, I do think that there are other callbacks specifically to Crisis Core. And I feel like
Crisis Core before Crisis.
No, I guess it's Crisis Core. The one you're playing, Zach, the PS...
Yeah, that's Crisis Core.
Okay.
So this character is from before Crisis, Japanese exclusive mobile game.
Oh, that one on like the Nokia flip phone?
Yeah.
I know. Oh, okay. Yeah, that... Apparently, there's a lot of lore in there.
There's apparently a lot of lore
anyway,
in that.
Anyway, that sucks. Well, I will never know what that means, but there are stuff from Crisis Core that I want to mention that I'm like, shit.
We can talk about that later.
But it's interesting because, like, yeah, I imagine that it's going to be somewhat like Kingdom Hearts, where they're trying to, like, not bury the lead. They're trying to link other tangential games into this one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it has to be.
Alternate universes?
I mean,
yeah.
Right. Yeah,
I think in general, though, to zoom out one more perspective, probably the biggest deviation between this and Remake is obviously like the open worldy stuff, like which I think on the one hand is great.
Yeah,
I like having a lot of stuff to do. On the other hand, I just want to shoot Chadley in the head.
I really hate Chadley so much.
Why did they make another Chadley? Why did they make a female version of him?
Oh my God. And she says every time you do like a fight, whatever, she says the same thing. So if you have to redo a fight because you didn't get all the checkpoints, she says the same thing. And it's coming through your controller at the same volume every time, so I can't even mute it.
Yeah.
Shut up. Stop talking.
You can if you
You already said all of these things again. But like if they say something later in like a cutscene or later, like I want to be able to hear it.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to just repeat the same, wow, looks like you got it, over and over and over again. Shut up.
It's interesting because like the entire Chadley arc, like, is he a Sephiroth clone? He is a Sephiroth clone, right?
He's an android.
I did not. Oh, okay.
I mean, he said he was a
robot.
Yeah, he said he was a Hojo AI robot. Okay.
All right, that makes more sense.
And then he created the girl Chadley AI.
Yeah,
so
AIs
on AIs.
Yeah, right.
So
Chadley sucks.
It's such a weird why?
Chadley sucks. He's not a good character.
You could have replaced him with like a Moogle.
He pops up far too often.
Well, that's
like every time you complete you go to a little shrine and you scan it three times, which is like a stupid mini game anyway, and then he has to pop up and tell you something. Like, you are adding nothing to me right now. You're just wasting my time and you're making it take longer for me to be able to get back into the game and for me to be able to press start and get into the menu. Has anybody else come up with this problem? This is the most common, like, technical, logistical problem that I have with the game is that every time you do anything, you can't get into the menu. And I'm constantly hitting start to like try to change my materia or change my equipment.
Pause
every time. Does this not happen to you?
No.
This happens to me at least 20 times every time I play, and it's driving me nuts.
Is it because you're
trying to change your materia in cutscenes?
I'm not trying to change my materia in cutscenes, but like if you complete a quest, it takes quite a bit of time for it to resume normal play.
It's like a fake
longer than it should.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so also like if you end a battle, so if you're Cloud, you're fighting, whatever, you switch back to Cloud, there's like a 1.5 second delay between being out of battle mode so that when you hit start, it just goes to the pause screen.
Yeah.
And being in like regular mode so if you hit start, you go into the menu. And a lot of times after a battle, I'm like, oh crap, I didn't have the right materia on, or I need to switch my equipment, or I want to switch my party, but like I want to change the leader of the party. And so I'm constantly hitting start to do that. And every time I hit it too quickly and it goes into the pause menu.
I have run into that a few times.
Mm. It happens to me constantly. Yeah, and especially because I am playing correctly. I play video games the right way. This is not my fault. This is their fault. Yeah. And the fact that like Chadley comes up so often, and every time you go into that scene where he talks, it lengthens that time and it like recreates that thing where like you then I have to wait for him to talk. I have to give it a second before I can hit the start menu again and change all my stuff.
Did they have like a census as to whether or not people liked Chadley? Like, why would they add Chadley? Like, I don't understand his purpose except for being like the guy on the chair who's like talking to you about shit.
Yeah, I think it's just an easy way. I don't want to say easy. To that makes it sound lazy, but
character.
Yeah, you need a character that like forces you to do all of these side quest things
to explain and, things to you.
And you could have been somebody in Calm could have given you a device that says, "Hey, this will be your GPS. So plug it into these things, and then it also downloads other apps, and it would be fine."
No, it's. I think there is the problem that you need someone to be like, this is a life stream crystal. This is like a summon stone place.
I do
this
like
is a thing.
I will say I do like Chadley. I do like reading about the towns.
I also do like that a lot.
That blows my mind a little bit because it builds so much more context that I never had.
This is partially why I hate Chadley, because it's like I want to discover hear the things that he has to say, but I also hate the way that he says it.
Yeah.
Because it's like I feel like the lore and the context and all that I think matters a lot, and it's like he'll have nuggets of interesting things that he says, but it's just like it's just too much. He'd be inoffensive if he showed up a quarter of the amount that he shows up.
It would be fine. Then you'd just be like, okay, whatever, throwaway character, not a big deal. But the fact that he comes up so often and that I'm having to skip, like, I was pretty. I think very strong game.
Yeah,
I'm having a good time. I'm playing it. I'm demolishing it, but I think it had a pretty weak start. I was not, when I first turned it on, I was, you know, and I hope this is a safe space to say this, I was a little disappointed when I first turned it on and I started playing within the first, like, let's say 8 hours. I was like, I am not having fun yet. Like, I started this game. I already played the demo.
Open world stuff.
So I started the game. I had already played the demo. I was a little annoyed that I had to go back into the demo thing and do like a couple little things. And I was like, you told me I could skip this and I can't skip it. And like, this is a little annoying. So I'm already having to skip cutscenes. And that like hit me the wrong way. And I'm like, this is the first time I'm playing a game. I shouldn't be skipping. The first thing I do in this game should not be to skip a cutscene. Like, this does not feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that like little bit of story you don't really get. So you kind of have no, you only have like a tiny bit of story in the beginning. You play that. I've already played that story quest, so I don't have that. So I step into this game and the first thing I'm doing is side quests. I'm like, this is not a strong start. Like, this is not.
Do you think the demo ruined that for you? Because
probably.
I'll say starting the demo at 9 o'clock and then finishing at 11:45, 15 minutes before the actual game came out, it was wonderful. It was amazing.
Yeah, I think potentially.
Except for when I
got
to the open world.
Maybe if I'd played that demo, that I wouldn't have had this stumbling start, because then you like start in right away, you're in the open world. Chadley is being annoying. I want to have this experience of like getting some story stuff and feeling like I'm playing this game for a little bit before I get into that open world stuff. I'm happy to do that, but like, it's a little weak.
Yeah.
I mean, how it's being given to me. Like, I looked at my playtime and I was like, I'm 10 hours into this game and I have not had another story. I haven't had one bit of story, and I tried to just stop doing the side stuff and to progress the story, but I was underleveled. So I had to go back and do the side stuff, and I was like, this was a slow start.
For somebody who also played the demo beforehand, what was your first 10 hours?
Well, I was kind of happy. Like, I was confused that it didn't skip all of the demo section. I was definitely confused.
I had to look it up. I was like, am I doing this wrong?
Yeah, and then I was like, am I doing this wrong? And so then I had you stop your momentum and immersion because you don't know what you're, you know. Yeah.
But I was okay to like watch the scenes and stuff that it sets up for you, just so I could like kind of get back into that mind frame. But I guess when I was like,
it did give you the end of that flashback.
There is something that you do before you go to the open world, though.
You just walk around Calm, and then
you shit play
happens.
Like the very opening scene where it's like, I don't know.
Where you
if it's
like
a spoiler.
Go out into the open world.
Yeah, well, you're forced out into the open world because of like, you know,
yeah,
a siege. But like at that point, Yeah, it goes from, if you're not counting the demo, it goes from you going in and like meeting all the characters again, and then flashback, and then you get the end of the flashback. If you skip the flashback, you get the end of the flashback.
Also, they gave you the worst part of the flashback to replay again.
Yeah,
the crawling. As you're doing the crawling in the flashback, I was like, as I was doing the demo, I was like, thank God I'm doing this now, because this is like horrible and I hate it. And then you have to do it again. And I was like, I'm so angry right now.
It did skip the battle tutorials. So I was happy about that.
Those fucking villagers had guns and they were standing within arm's reach of Sephiroth and not shooting them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that also break my immersion a little bit. We'll talk about that later.
Paralyzed by fear.
But keep going, Justin.
But, yeah, I mean, I really wasn't.
Yeah, and then you're in the town. So then you like have a few conversations and then you talk. Because we were trying to figure out what.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't too off put by it, because honestly, in the moments in Calm, I was really I don't know. I was just very pleased by a lot of the stuff that I was seeing, because like when it teaches you the systems, like I think I told you I was like, the things that are engaging me the most, it's like anytime like one of the tips came up that's like, this is how like your relationships with these characters are going to be affected by whatever. I would read that and I would get like giddy for a second, because I'm like, oh shit, like they're doing that. And then like when they show you Queen's Blood, I'm like, oh my God, like there's a card game.
I was really against Queen's Blood in the beginning.
So I was like,
these are like things that I strongly dislike in games.
I was 100% in on these. And like the story beats and stuff were so cool. Like, I don't know. I was very pleased with that. When I got into the open world, though, it was like, I wasn't like turned off by it. I definitely spent too much time running around the open world before you even get to the first mission. So I was like finding stuff like the summon stones, and like I was like, oh, this looks really important. I guess this will be important later. And then like after you do it, it's like, oh, and there's also all of these things that you have to do. Like I must have climbed like three towers before like they mattered, right? But then once you get introduced to Chadley and, you know, start figuring out what you do there, I was like a little like, I kind of had to like calm myself a little bit to be like, all right, well, like when I saw the first little like tick of the little ball show up, I was just like, well, obviously I'm just doing all of this now. Like, what am I gonna not do all of this? Like, I just have to do all of this. So
they don't even hide it.
Similar. So I was not upset to the degree that it seems like you're upset, but I did find myself, and this is probably,
I was pretty upset by something.
This is probably the worst thing that could have happened, was while I was doing the open world stuff, I quickly realized what things required actual effort and attention and which things didn't. And when I was doing stuff that I knew didn't require attention, I would turn on a podcast and like I would be listening to something while I was playing the game, which is like the worst possible thing that could happen, because then it means like I am actually only giving you half of my attention. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's like, that's not where I want to be.
Yeah.
But it was very easy for me to like pause something or whatever when anybody started talking, you know, even fucking Chadley. but I will say that it did really hit its stride as you started, like, you know, once you figure out like the chocobo stuff and all these kinds of things. Like, I was very endeared by many, many parts of the game.
I feel like, honestly, once you leave Calm, it starts to pick up momentum. And then, like, once I got into the next area, I was like, okay, now I feel like this game is where it should be.
I feel like, post-swamp or pre-swamp?
Post swamp.
Okay.
Up until the swamp, I was pretty.
So once
I don't want to say annoyed, but
so
like
once the game I was, hit like a linear section, because that's really what it was. Like once you get there, then you're in like the game's like a linear, more like story thing.
The game.
I'm not saying that in disparaging. I think it's a good thing too.
I feel like it needed that moment, and I feel like that should have come earlier. That should have come before you get to the open world stuff, so you can like.
I guess that would have been
even
the demo.
But even in the demo, like I want to have this moment, and they tried to do it like when you're in the town, like where you're having cutscenes and sort of reconnecting with these characters. Like I want to see the interactions between Tifa and Cloud, and like I want to have those camaraderie moments. And if you're running on doing open world stuff, like you're not getting that. Like they have like little quips, but you're not really seeing them.
There's no
like
substance.
And like feeling like anything is happening and that you're a part of something. That feels like the open world stuff just feels more like mid to end game stuff that like you do listen to while you listen to a podcast. And I remember playing the first game and being like, and I often watch stuff or listen to stuff while I play video games.
Yeah.
And Final Fantasy Remake, I was like, this game is so good, I don't need to do anything else while I'm playing this game. And within the first like 3 hours, I was like, I'm already bored enough that I need to play something. I was like pretty off put, but I was like, I don't know that this game is going to live up to the original. Like, I feel like the original, I feel like maybe it's doing too much, trying to do the most right now, and I feel like it just do less. But now that it's like sort of hitting its stride, I've come down from that a little bit. I feel much better about where it is. I'm much more committed to what it's doing, and it has, it seems like it has a better balance between the story beats and the side stuff.
I feel like it's funny when I think about the weakest points of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, it is by far the fodder that is the open world. However, I will also say
some of those mini games are pretty rough too.
They are so stupid. And I was talking to Justin about this. I was like, what are your thoughts
when you call the mini games? This was the thing that we got into. Like, what do you consider a mini game?
I kind of think anything that goes outside the base like combat and movement mechanics is a mini game.
Yeah, like
it honestly kind of. Sorry.
Talking to the summons and then having to press X a couple of times at the time when the fucking clock hits these.
Yeah.
Like, this is
going to scan.
You could have done something way more interesting than
going to scan the spring life and this, the three, having to hit triangle QTEs. Three times.
Yeah, at the right time.
With the QTEs, you know, with the same QTE, like every single time.
What does that remind you of?
Elite Beat Agents?
No. It is the exact, oh my God, dude. The second I did it the first time, I straight up had like a PTSD war flashback of Fire Emblem Three Houses, because it is the exact same minigame as fishing in that game, where it's just the ring hits the ring.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And I remember just driving myself nuts with that shit.
I feel like those moments are pretty weak. And I'm happy to do a minigame. Like, it honestly actually kind of reminds me of Kingdom Hearts. Like, when Kingdom Hearts has these weird, like, totally
nonsensical
immersion breaking moments where you have to do something completely and totally different from what you would do in the normal game, and in a very silly way. And it's like a little weird, it's because like, you're Cloud and he's like this. So not a silly guy.
Yeah,
like it almost feels like it fits more when you're in Kingdom Hearts and you're doing weird stuff and weird stuff is happening and you're playing like weird characters. But
yeah,
when Cloud does it, I'm like, what is happening right now?
However, the biggest question for most people on this game was how the hell they were going to handle the open world situation. Like, are you going to go into a giant Cloud walking around a bunch of forests that are like straight up old Final Fantasy nonsense, right? But I think they wanted you to see that, and they had to figure out a way to do that. And I think they did overall. Like, it is the weakest point, but I am very happy with how they've built that world and what you go through.
Definitely.
I will also say, now that I've gone through a couple of chapters and I've gone, like, I can tell you when everything is linear. Even the open world stuff, it's like, you'll get to this. Now you get to a little, you get rewarded with a little story, a little linear. And then you go back to an open world thing, and now you get really big story stuff.
Yeah.
Back to another really big story stuff.
I like the way that it's giving you bits of open world.
Yeah.
And then
there's a very nice
fragmented by the story beats.
And the story beats.
That is necessary. Otherwise, it's empty.
And I will say that, like, and I do understand, like, when you were mentioning to me before in chat about, like, how the beginning of the game was, like, kind of weak for you. And I didn't even think about you not going through the flashback, because that was magical for me. That was like, oh, my God. But, like, at the point when I got to the open world, and, like, you're doing back-to-back two open worlds before you get to some real story beat stuff.
Saying.
And I'm like, I get where you're feeling. I get where you're feeling. But then when you get to that story beat, it's like,
yes.
And especially if you're coming off of like a Final Fantasy, as a Final Fantasy fan, it's just like, oh my God. Like, and then at first, like, I was afraid that the writing was going to be terrible and super cringy, because I got a lot of Chadley. And then at a certain point, when I started getting like, these characters actually have some characteristics, and some of it is a little weird and some of it is a little goofy sometimes, but they play with each other so nicely.
Yeah.
I love it now. Like, at certain points, I was afraid that they were like, oh, Barret's doing his thing, and like Tifa and Aerith. And Aerith is like this ditzy kind of like, you know, very like fragile flower. And like Tifa's they're like this awesome tomboy. But I've fallen deeply in love with all of the characters. Yeah. All Red Red 13.
Red 13 is the man.
Is the fucking man. His voice actor is doing a great job.
He's doing everything right now.
So all of the characters combined, this is... It's having the same effects as Persona 5, where I fall in love with all the characters and I get to visit my friends in this game. And I love it. I love it so much.
Do you know what I was thinking earlier today as I was playing? And I was playing the game because I was like trying to figure out like, who should I put in my party, whatever. And I had this like epiphany that I was like, you know what? Like, all of these characters are good. Like, I feel like there's so many times you play a game that has like a party, and I feel like there's usually one person where you're like, yeah, that guy sucks. Yeah, like, like you just like hate this character or something or other.
Fuck you. Dude,
right? And I remember like if I played like even Final Fantasy X, and I love Final Fantasy X, but I'm like, Waka, you're an asshole. Like, you go fuck yourself. 100%. You're such a jerk. And if I had an option, like, I'm totally going to keep you out of my party because, like, I don't like you as a character.
Yeah.
But I'm playing this game, and I'm like, but, like, sometimes I want to hang out with Baron. I want to hang out with Tifa, too.
Yeah, I mean, the rotation of characters is also, like, there's really no reason to not be using all of the characters all the time. They make it very easy to swap the parties out.
Yeah, it's
and,
nice.
And to your point, it was like in Remake, I thought that Aerith sucked. I thought she was very not fun to play. She was like the most slow. But in this game, she's so good. She is so good in this game. I'm like shocked by how good she is.
I think you like, said the same thing about Remake, though, about Aerith. Because I'm pretty sure you got Radiant Ward before, and like when you told me about that, and I got it, and then I was like, this is the same move that he was jazzed about in Remake. I'm pretty sure.
I think it's because that character has like layers.
She's painful.
It's like when you start playing it, you're like, every attack is so slow and it does no damage and it just sucks. But then I don't think I understood how to use wards beforehand.
Yeah.
So then when I got Radiant Ward, I was like, this is fucking awesome.
This is the
way. Then. Like Arcane Ward, do you know all of your characters? Anybody that stands in that ward gets double magic.
Insane. You can cast it on other characters.
Yeah. But I'm saying like any like so if you just cast one and you walk another
it's
character
applicable
over,
to everybody.
They can double cure people, double damage. Like it's
but you do use
awesome.
You do
I
use double the amount
actually.
Of MP.
Yeah.
You do use the double amount of MP, so it's like technically you're doing
but
double.
But you're usually
starved for is ATB.
You know what I didn't
right
know?
Charges, right?
I'd rather do two single cures than one cura. You know,
you know what I didn't
it's
know?
Less magic and you heal more.
Right.
I didn't know Aerith, her triangle moves zaps her back to the freaking warp.
Yes.
Yeah,
I feel like the combat system, when I was first playing it, I was like, I don't know. I feel like they're adding a lot of stuff, and I'm like, it's confusing, and I don't know that this is, like, is this really improving it? I don't know that it is. But as I've played it more, I'm, like, seeing sort of the way you need to play is a little differently, because I feel like I was pretty used to, like, in Remake, I would just kind of pick one character, and I'd be like, I like to play this character. And, like, every now and then I'll switch if I need to, but, like, I start a battle, I play this character, and...
Yeah.
I'm realizing that is not the way to play Rebirth 100%.
No, I mean, you definitely want to switch characters
up. You want to be switching up because you want to be sure that they're charging. Because I was kind of like, this makes no sense to me. Like, why, if I'm not playing as, you know, if I'm playing as Cloud, then, like, Red is never using he's not charging up his ATB at all. And, like, so he's, like, useless to me and what's happening. And it took me a while to realize, like, it's trying to get you to play as all the characters. Like, you're trying to play as Cloud, use his ATBs, charge them, move on to the next character, use some of his, and like have them all charged so they can be using them so that you could then use your synergy abilities, especially like in a boss battle, because you really can't.
I love
like and I'm realizing like, oh my god, like the way to play the boss battles, I feel like, are much more interesting now that I understand the system a little better. I feel like the boss battles are much more interesting, having to switch the characters and having all these extra abilities at your sort of disposal, because I feel like one way that Remake suffered a little bit in the combat was like, if you would get sort of like late in the battle and your characters were dying, then you just had to spend the whole time trying to keep everybody alive.
Yeah.
And like that was not fun.
Fantasy game, kind of.
Right. And like that part of it was not fun. And you just always felt like you were sort of chasing this thing because like you never had any ATB. And if you go in, you would die right away.
Yeah.
So you couldn't ever heal. And like, I feel like this having the extra abilities and like getting them charged at the beginning of the game, that way if you get late game and something is happening, you can start popping off those abilities and then like get yourself out of that hole so you can like sort of get back on top and get a handle of the situation. And then also having the abilities that you can use where you don't need anything, like the like moves that you use when you guard.
Mm-hmm.
Those I wasn't like, I couldn't
I'm still,
figure
I still haven't mastered those yet.
Some of them I like
them very often.
I like some of them particularly when
you're saying like the precision guard like materia stuff.
No, when you hold down R and R1 and you use any of the face buttons, you could do the offensive or the defensive.
Oh yeah.
Guard abilities.
Yeah.
Synergy moves.
Yeah, it's nice because if you don't have charges, then you could still sort of do something outside of your normal abilities, and then it's helpful with Aerith because she's always getting killed and you're trying to cast something. You can something.
Like, hey, Cloud, jump in front of this, please.
Yeah, and it also gives you some ranged attacks with characters that don't have ranged attacks. Mm. So that's nice. So like if you're playing as Cloud and you're fighting like a bird.
Cloud does have ranged attacks. I told this to Chow. If you dodge and then swing your sword afterwards,
he does blade shoot beam.
Projectiles.
And then if you hold...
Okay. I did
then,
not know that.
Yeah, found, so the game doesn't tell you that, and I didn't realize. I just started doing it once, and I was like, how am I shooting blade beams? Yeah. Like, what's going on? And then I realized it's like, if you just hit dodge and then immediately hit attack, you'll do 3 projectiles.
Oh.
It's awesome.
All right.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Total game changer.
That is a total game changer.
Yeah.
Because I've been using those abilities to, like, if you use them with a magic character of any kind,
like, or like Barret and stuff,
you can like you tried it, right?
Yeah,
and it works, right?
Yeah,
I thought
what?
It was so
that's crazy to me.
Right? Just, it's so weird,
you and just
it's
legit dodge back and
good.
It's kind of
does
like,
it work with other characters? Do you think? Like do other?
I've only found
do
it,
other characters have a dodge and then attack move.
I've only seen I've. I don't know. I've only seen it work
I
with
think
Cloud.
I'm gonna start every character has a dodge and attack move. Cause like, if
but
you're,
not like something as drastic as a projectile.
No, right? Not all the time. Like I know Red 13, when you like dodge and attack, he does like something. I can't remember. But yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm pretty sure they all have something.
I don't know for sure. Honestly, I'm playing as
they
Cloud
don't have
as much as possible. And when I'm playing as other characters, I have like a very specific task in mind.
Right.
So speaking on the combat system, I really appreciate, and this is the same, I think hard mode really put this into my head with Final Fantasy VII Remake originally, but like, and I'll draw comparisons with like Bravely Default and their mechanics, but the idea of saving and then like blowing all of the savings like on one attack, like, and it's fast, it's fantastic too when married so nicely with the stagger system, because it becomes such, it literally becomes you thinking of Final Fantasy VII's old like turn-based style fighting, but now in real time.
Yeah.
It's like way faster, and you're thinking and flipping through menus way faster, and it's like, and now you're like building, and then you get like the ability that allows you to have like 3 bars instead of just 2.
Oh,
and like you're saving that stuff up for the big moment, and like, and it's funny because then you also feel
you
this level.
Then the synergy and like, oh my gosh.
And then you feel like, and then there's a moment where you're like, when you do everything and the bad guy's still alive, you're now exhausted. And it's like, it feels like you're exhausted. And it's fascinating. It's a really nice push and pull in the battling mechanic. Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned hard mode because I think about that because like,
I try not using items just to train myself.
Yeah. Like I'm certainly going to be playing hard mode like after the first playthrough, and when I see stuff like the teleporting with Aerith like to the wards and stuff, I'm like, fuck
yeah, right?
I'm like,
there's more strategy
I know
here.
This is gonna be so important, and I'm just gonna be like floundering. I want to touch back on the open world stuff just because I think there's a little bit more meat on that bone. So I now, having gone through multiple sections of open worlds and kind of like really evaluating it, it's obvious that there's like the different categories of tasks that you're doing.
Yeah,
and
repeat.
The longer thread objectives, I think, are actually awesome. Like what's an earlier example?
Like finding cogs.
Like when you follow the bandits in the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Like all that kind of stuff. Like I really enjoy those because I think it allows you to contextualize that section of world a lot more in a meaningful way, not just like hitting 3 buttons, right? So those kinds of missions I think are cool. The thing that I think sticks with me that kind of bothers me about the open world is that the rest of the missions are so cookie cut bullshit open world stuff.
Yeah.
Like find the outpost and, you know, battle the guys at the outpost and now you can see more, right? It's like, let me just stand on top of this building in Assassin's Creed and synchronize or whatever
the
fuck.
Yeah,
like,
or Breath of the Wild.
Climb this tall neck. And,
Or climb the tower in Breath of the Wild. Like, it's all this kind of garbage. And I really, like, I hate that. Like, I get it that it's like, these are like the focus tested best things that you could do in this space. But I just can't, I don't want to believe that that is the most creative thing that they
can
do.
Not.
Yeah, it seems not. Like a concession. It seems like they were like, we need to make a game that people are going to like. So like, we're going to do these things that we know are generally
They could have had those same motivations and replaced all of it with good quests. Like Final Fantasy 16 had great quests, right? So like, why can't you? Okay, so maybe not. But like
here and there, yeah.
Final Fantasy 16, we talked pretty at length about how bad the side quests were.
I remember some of them being
Every
good.
Side quest was the exact same formula.
Bad example, bad example.
These are better than Final Fantasy 16.
Bad example, bad example. But the idea of a collectathon that then progresses you in some weird stat or something like that feels like you're saying cookie cutter kind of throwaway, you know, tissue paper kind of garbage.
Yeah.
You could have done something way more substantial where you're like, learn it, like they make characters in smaller villages or like in the outposts or like in the farms and like you're building these connections and you being like a good guy just help them out and turning them into like avalanche like supporters.
That's why those mostly like you know mid-tier story quests like with like the stuff of the Chocobo Farm and all that. It's like those
side quests feel
the best because it feels like you're actually doing something, right? All the other ones just like I don't know. It's like
but even the Chocobo stuff, like, I feel like that is in a weird way, like, kind of like a cookie cutter, a little puzzle situation.
No, but like helping the girl get the crown and all that kind of stuff.
At
the girl
at
the and
farm.
The guy at the farm.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
the
those,
flower
those
crown.
Kinds of quests are what I'm talking about. Not like the sniff in the ground kind of type shit.
Yeah. So, a fetch quest.
but those kinds of...
You can like add some interesting writing into a fetch quest, though. Like, going to the same location and
well,
the same props and the same... You know, like in different locations every time and scanning them in the same way.
And frankly, it's like the fetch quest isn't what makes those things compelling. It's that like, it's that Aerith really wanted to help that girl out.
Right.
So it's like, I'm going to see what Aerith's reaction to me doing these things for this person is. It's like, it's more so the relationship, like it's like the dating sim portion of it that I think is,
but
is
you know, I
more
think
interesting.
I agree with that. I would also say, and the dating sim part does give a little bit of like motivation for certain things, but I will say like the game itself, like the open world and the things that you're doing in the open world are so kind of disjointed for me that I have no problem fast traveling everywhere.
Oh, sick.
Like, I don't
totally
give a
same.
Shit.
In which case, you're just pushing buttons.
But
like, you're not doing anything.
Exactly, and that means something. Like, in Breath of the Wild, I didn't want to do that because there was, like, an active, living, breathing world that I get to explore.
Yeah.
This doesn't
feel
like that.
Yeah, no,
we're
just so many rocks.
Like, and actually, this is a perfect segue to another piece that I just wanted to touch on, which is the reason why you'd want to walk through the world is so you could pick up resources on the way, which is like the stupid item, whatever they call it, moduli, whatever.
What do they call it?
The item maker thing.
Yeah.
Oh, transmutation.
Transmuter. Item transmuter. Yeah.
So that thing, I think, also introduces some problems to the game that I don't really like.
Yeah.
When I know a game has a bad system, like just blanket. I know a game has a bad system when I open a menu that's supposed to mean something and I'm not even actively acknowledging anything that's on the menu. I'm just clicking the thing that I can do.
Yeah.
And when that menu is like, you'll get more craftsmanship experience by making new things. So then all I do is like every once in a while, like I'm not thinking about the shit that I'm making in there because it often doesn't matter.
I'm just running around the world pressing triangle.
And then I just open the menu and I'm like, what haven't I made yet? Blank, 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 blank. And then next page, blank, 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 blank. And I just do those things. And I'm like, cool. And then I'll sort of adjourn myself from it. And that's like, that's one that communicates to me, at least in my experience thus far, that the system is not effectively doing what it should be, or it doesn't matter that much at this stage in the game.
Yeah.
And then Justin, you brought up a really good point when we were talking the other day, where having that device in a way devalues the towns in the game now, because now going to an item shop matters so less because it's
garbage.
It's on you all the time.
It doesn't
it's like
matter.
you know what you're doing when you go to the shops? Are they selling any booster packs of Queen's Blood cards? Because that's pretty much the only unique thing you're getting there. You're not even getting so much weapons anymore, which sucks.
Sometimes.
Very rarely.
So not often, yeah. So that used to be the good part of getting to a new area, is that you get the weapon, you go to the... I'm like running around looking for the accessory seller the weapon shop.
They streamlined a lot of systems in order to... I feel like it's either because they didn't want to deal with the imbalance of certain situations in the game and how people will play, and they didn't want to have to think through that, so they just wanted to create essentially funnels that everybody would like catch-alls, basically, and they would fall into. I will say, though, and then you talked to me about this before when you were talking about the Final Fantasy IX comparison. It's like... The Final Fantasy IX comparison, or the Final Fantasy IX mechanic, was so good because there would be times when you have like two or three weapons that you still have to play as or use, but you're still working on the first weapon that you have in order to get that thing.
Because you want
to
acquire those skills before you equip the better thing.
And then there's a choice to be made about what next weapon you're going to be going with. Are you going to go with a higher output, or are you going to be going for this ability, and so on and so forth. But in this game, they feed you the weapons at a perfect pace, almost, that they're like, you should be done with this one already, pretty much, or you should be done with that one. And like, if you're not, don't worry, because you'll have enough time to do both eventually. Like, it feels like the weapons itself, there's like only maybe, I would call it like a second level. Bless you. There's like only two levels to the weapons, which is like how much damage is it doing, and materia am I allowed to equip? And then that's basically it, really.
There's phases of use. Phase one is spamming the move that's connected to this weapon so I can get it.
Yeah.
And then when I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Well, I like that system, though. I like this. I'm not sure. I like the added, like, just that touch added level of complexity of getting the new weapon and then having to equip that new weapon, because, like, what am I just going to leave this ability on the table? I'm not a scumbag.
I like that.
Have to use it, and then it also then forces you to use that ability, so then maybe you do, like, otherwise I'm just going to be set in my ways and just keep using what I'm using. But then you give me this, I'm like, all right, you know, I have to use it, and then I try it, turns out I actually like it, so now then I'm gonna adjust my system a little bit.
So I
like that
loop. I like the concept of them not tutorializing. Yeah, I guess tutorializing the use of new skills and things like that. I more so, and this is such like a curmudgeon type of mentality, but I liked how Final Fantasy IX did it more, because you would get abilities that weren't immediately useful to you, but they always became useful at some point. So it's like you were always interested in getting all the abilities, because like you might not need, you know, poison proof now, but then you're gonna fight an enemy that poisons you like crazy, and then that's, you're like, oh man, I'm so glad I did that, let me re-equip my stuff, and now that becomes useful.
That's funny, because there are
it forces you to change.
You're absolutely right, and that you're now bringing up something now that I'm like thinking through. It's like I look at some of the material I have and I'm just like, I'm never gonna use you. Never gonna use, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to use everything and like see what they all taste like, basically, but like in certain circumstances it's like, I don't know. Am I going to ever use like Vitality Up? What the fuck does Luck Up do for you?
But you are. I look at it, but I had the same moment where I'm looking at this materia and I'm like, no, I always try to have something that's leveling up like in every slot. Because I'm like, yo, I know at some point I'm going to be playing, even if I'm like just playing some mini game or trying to like complete some sort of task, I'm like, I know I'm going to need an opportunity where I'm going to need the maximum amount of ATB charges possible. So like, even though I don't really need this ability right now, I'm going to level it up.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
No, that's true. But I
like
do...
Poison Ward? Like, what else? I don't even...
Yeah.
But you're going to need it at some point. Some point you're going to need to equip it so that you don't get poisoned.
I do look at some of the materia and I'm like, these... It's like they're only going to be useful in hard mode. Like I look at that item one that's like you get to use items without using ATB or something, and I'm like,
yeah, I have that one.
Equips. Yeah. So I think it is useful now, but I'm not using items actively enough where it seems like I'm extracting the correct amount of value out of it.
Right.
But in hard mode, it's like you can't use magic, or like you can't use healing.
In hard mode, you can't use items. You can only use magic.
That's right.
Yeah. That's why chakra becomes so necessary.
True.
And I've been using chakra like a fuck ton.
I think there's a sleeve in that.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to always level something up, hoping that at some point it will be useful.
Yeah.
At some point, I'm going to need somebody with a fuck ton more HP than they have right now.
That's true.
So yeah. I'm going to level it up.
What are your thoughts on the leveling system and the nodes, and in particular, the I can use this, magic without using MP?
So this, I'll touch on this briefly. This was another one of those moments where when they started the tutorial for it and it was like showing you what it was, I got super giddy. And I think we all did for the same reason, because the first second you look at it, what's the first thing you think? It's a sphere grid.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck yeah. Like, I'm here for it, right? But then you quickly realize
it's not a
sphere grid.
Yeah.
And the rate at which you're getting new abilities is so fucking slow.
Yeah. I'm not happy with it.
Brutal how long it takes you to get anything. And it's like, man, I just want all these synergy attacks so I can increase my relationship with Red 13.
So I didn't reset all of my skills. I did try only to maximize what you're talking about, just the synergies. I have not. So like the having the magic without having to spend MP, I feel like that's a waste, because I always have all of my elements covered mainly.
Typically.
That's going to be a hard mode thing.
And I probably, right, exactly. But I don't
You're going to need to stagger something, but you only
want to use magic to heal yourself.
Right.
So
because you don't have the MP.
Yeah, and you want this to pressure, right? So you want the weakness to pressure. But
it makes sense why they would have it there. It's just not really useful for me right now. And I would rather use other things.
I don't know, man. It's like when I eat food, sometimes I like my things to be separated. I don't like the idea that I can be using these and getting the thing, because it devalues my magic.
Yeah.
Entirely. Like, why would I ever use any of
this?
It's
probably very weak.
Yeah.
It probably is, but in the same sense, it's like, are you using magic to deal damage most of the time? I'm not.
I'm typically using it
to pressure.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, you said something before that reminded me of something that I wanted to comment on. When you first, so sort of a Kingdom Hearts moment, when they first start showing you they call it the folio system, mm-hmm. like they talk about it like you should already know what it is.
Yeah.
Like, folio is a weird way to describe what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's a little strange. And then when the guy introduces it to you for the first time, he's like, oh man, like, you don't even know. This is going to get so complex and interesting. Like, you just started. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, nah, bro, this is pretty fucking straightforward. Like, I think I know exactly what's going on here.
Yeah.
I hope I eat my words later, but like, I'm looking at this and I'm like, no, I get the number. And then I plug it into something.
I don't love it. I liked the way that they did it in Remake. I preferred the way they did it in Remake.
Remind me of how they did it in Remake.
In Remake, it was that your weapon had a certain amount of like SP to it.
Oh,
and when you equipped the weapon, you would go into like that space view.
Yeah.
And there were those different like
little galaxies that you could, like this galaxy did that.
I prefer that one.
And then when you do,
because also I feel like you had more options, like you would get more SP that way. Like, every time you get a new weapon, then you could like see what SP you could get, like what abilities you could get from that weapon. And so like, it had this other like, you know, cool layer of excitement of getting a weapon, and you could do more. I felt like you could do more other than just this one. Feels like all I'm doing is just equipping synergy abilities and that's it.
I need to,
right? Yeah, like, is there any like, and then like,
it's like plus
and
5%
then, like,
to stagger damage or like ATB
right?
increase.
Yeah, that's, I'm not,
I need
I don't
to send
it.
You guys this video that I watched about the Final Fantasy X sphere grid. Dude, that is like, it was one of the smartest systems of all time. It's crazy.
It's my favorite leveling system
in
a game.
Did you know, I'm going to spoil part of the video. Did you know that the way that the sphere grid is oriented, you know how each character contributes to a portion of the sphere grid?
Yeah.
Yes.
So their position in the sphere grid is very important relative to the other characters that are there. And the
because
path,
they synergize with each other?
And the paths at which they... No, it's based on the relationships in the game.
Oh.
And based on like how, like where locks are positioned indicates the barriers between the relationships. So like Tidus, his sphere grid is directly adjacent to Yuna and to Auron.
Yeah.
But in order for him to attach to Yuna's healing, you have to use like level 2 or level 3 keys, which is pretty hard, but it only requires a level 1 key to get to Auron, because Auron's like his
mentor.
So he's obviously going to start copying his skills, right? And then like, you know, Riku is right next to she's right next to Waka and Lulu. You know, because she's kind of like bridging this way. It's very interesting. And then Kimari is right in the center. The whole video is about Kamari because everyone's like, oh, Kamari's the most useless person.
Because Kamari's the blue mage.
Cool, because he has the smallest he has the smallest grid out of anyone. So
you finish his
character.
First.
And his paths to every character are the same. There's no difference between him going to any other character in the setup. And the reason why that is because Kamari, as a Ronso, when he broke, like when the guy broke his horn and shamed him from his tribe, he had to leave and become his own person. And he needed to figure out who he needed to be in the new world. So he had to find somebody to be his new guide. And that's on you as the player to figure out who's going to be his next, like whose path is he going
to
follow?
Titus. Where he follows Titus's path. That's the right way to go.
Maybe he does.
Where the fuck is that team?
Where's that guy?
In the level of detail for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Right.
Give me that like zest literally anywhere.
That game released the same year that Final Fantasy IX released. Isn't that fucking crazy?
Yeah.
What times did we live in?
I love that sphere grid.
Man, it's like that kind of level of detail is something that really gets me fucking jazzed. It's like, but you know what doesn't get me jazzed? Sitting down on a bench with a cushion.
Like, oh my god. No, and then you have like to do like the animation of the flicking and
like you know,
it's just too long. You didn't need to add any frames to that animation.
Yeah. Pause that. There's really no reason to ever do that. You realize there's no reason to ever do that?
Fast travel to anywhere where you can rest for free.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why am I ever going to stop and rest at this broken one when I could just fast travel back to the perfectly working one?
This is why I think hard mode is going to change that. I would not.
Hard mode, you can't even sit down. It doesn't even do anything for you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh. I was under the assumption that in the hard mode in this game, it would remove fast travel completely.
Like, even in resting at inns in Final Fantasy VII Remake in hard mode, it does not increase your health. You have to, like, go into battle and chakra the shit out of yourself.
Mm.
But.
What?
Or you. Yeah.
Really?
I'm not even joking.
How do you get more MP?
I
think you buy ethers.
No, you can't.
You can't use ethers.
Not even outside of battles.
Oh.
I'm not sure. The only reason why I know this is because I have a friend who can't play Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, so he's replaying Final Fantasy VII Remake on hard mode, and he's like, "Dude, you can't even sit down. It doesn't do anything for you. What does this mean?"
That's no, you must be able to rest at an inn then.
Maybe it's only at inns.
I think only inns, right?
I think he's mentioned. Maybe. I'll look it up. But anyway, long story short, though, like, you know what really bugs me, too? And this is just a small little gripe. It's like you sit down at this goddamn bus stop, right, or whatever, and the little chocobo thing that helps you find them falls asleep and then wakes up with you.
Yeah.
Do you pet it every time?
No.
I pet it every single time.
I pet it.
I don't have time for that.
I petted two of them, and I'm just like, this is... You pet it for, like, three pets too much.
You know the pet changes? Frames.
Huh?
The pet changes.
Oh, now I have to pet them. God damn it.
Like, the more you pet them, or just there's a couple different animations that happen?
Like, I've gotten to a point where the pet is no longer the same pet.
What's he doing?
He grabs his cheeks and shakes them around a little bit.
That's fucking adorable. God damn it. All right, but the side
you think
note,
that's an affinity thing, or like a
I don't know what
progression in the game thing?
I think it's like that area of the game or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, Barret, when you're playing as Barret, or when in Integrate, when you're playing as Yuffie, and you sit down at the bench and like you have they have animations,
right?
Could you just give me some animations of the entire team resting
right.
for a second and then standing up together like that would be amazing, but everybody
Cloud gets to sit down
and they're all standing in the exact
or also why can't you play as the other characters outside of Cloud?
That's a good point too. Well,
that kills me.
You couldn't
but in like you play as the other characters in so many other parts of the game. Like, I'm like, okay, so you don't want to make all the animations for it, whatever. But, like, you should have had the time to figure out the animations between that game and this game that, like, you could walk around. I mean, you could do it in, what was it?
Are you sure 13? You can't?
No, you can't. So, like,
no, every time if you pick another leader, every time the battle ends, you switch back to Cloud.
So, when they introduced the leader mechanic in the game, I got excited because I was like, I can play around as Tifa and like punch stuff.
You can't.
Or Barret and shoot stuff, which I remembered in Remake, but it's just for the battles. So you get into the battles and it's like,
like a scripted section.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. So you can play as like Tifa and Barret in other sections of the game, like, and Aerith.
Oh, yeah.
That's why my assumption was that you probably could do that. I think maybe, I don't know.
No, you can't.
You definitely can't.
Like, I've tried.
Yeah.
Okay.
More than once. I often have other party leaders.
Cloud's
and
the main character, guys. I'll just get over it. He's the main character.
It's wholeheartedly scripted.
He's on the cover.
Yeah. I haven't been able to play as Red 13 yet.
I assume that's going to be cool. The only reason why I think that they didn't do this is because then they would have to create box locations for all of the characters, and you'd have to hot swap them out, and that would be annoying. So like maybe they didn't want to do that. They're like, this is Cloud's time, so they're all going to be on the floor for you. But now they're Barret's time, so you're going to be shooting some shit on the walls.
That's what I mean. I just feel like you should be able to... I feel like it would be pretty easy to just create an animation for all the characters to break boxes. You could break boxes as a chocobo.
Yeah, that's true.
Break boxes as a chocobo.
Chocobo's kick for some reason.
Make four other animations.
I mean, every character has a foot. They should all be able to kick. It's
right?
Not that crazy.
I do.
The Tifa should be able to punch. Barret could hit it with his thing.
I don't think I played as... Oh, no, I have played as... But she didn't punch. She did nothing. Nobody did anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so... Interesting.
I enjoy Tifa very much. Great. Great character. Yeah.
She's great. I'm definitely romancing hard on Tifa.
Yeah.
Aerith can suck it. Sorry, Aerith. I mean, like you, but you could suck it.
I'm hoping this is one of those situations where you can romance all the characters. And you better believe that if we get to Gold Saucer, I am creating a hard save before that section and dating everybody and figuring out which one I like the most.
I think it's predetermined.
Yeah, I think it's a little predetermined.
Okay.
I remember in the first game you could like reject people and then somebody else would show up.
Oh, maybe.
Like in the OG Final Fantasy VII, you're waiting for somebody to come to your room.
Right.
And if like somebody comes, you could like tell them no, and then the next person comes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So maybe you can go through all the characters that way.
Maybe.
We'll see.
I don't know. I was looking it up to try to figure out like
if it mattered.
Yeah. I was like, do my responses matter? Because I keep giving them the wrong responses and then they're mad at me and like I don't want to keep refreshing this. So
it's the same thing in Baldur's Gate, by the way.
What does this tell you about Liz?
What?
Nothing.
It's not judgmental. It's only love, okay? It's funny because like you were mentioning before, you're like, Barret hates me. And I'm like, Barret doesn't hate me in my game. What did you do to Barret?
I don't know.
I'm busting your chops. You're saying that you just say all the wrong things and people are upset with you because you always tell them the wrong things. I'm saying, just like in real life.
I did not know where you're going with that.
Oh, okay. Well,
so yeah, but I don't like looking it up because it's immersion breaking and like it's not what I want to do. I just want to be able to play my game the way I
want
to play it.
But you want the good answer.
But like I don't like seeing that you didn't like my response and now I'm like, well, maybe something's wrong with me. I fucked it up and like, should I fix it? Because is this going to like greatly affect the outcome of my game later? In which case,
I have
in a negative way. Like there's no, I feel like in Baldur's Gate, it's like there's not a wrong way to play. It's just like this is how you play. Like in this scenario, there's definitely a wrong way to play. There's definitely like you can make people like you or they can hate you.
Yeah,
I think the main
and there's going to be no benefit to them not liking you.
And they could die.
I have to imagine that it's like it. My assumption at this point is that it would only affect the Gold Saucer date.
From what
if the Gold Saucer date happened?
From my research, it looks like it's pretty irrelevant. Except for potentially in Gold Saucer.
Yeah.
But that's why I think that's what we're saying. Like, I think it's like predetermined because I think all of the interactions you've been having with people so far, like that's what affects it. So I don't know if you can adjust it or if they're going to, like you said, like more people.
I mean,
are
in the original
up.
Final Fantasy VII, like there's like a ridiculous like
system.
I didn't know about it for the longest time, but then like there are every single interaction is like a plus or minus to your relationship with everybody.
Yeah,
I did not know that you can choose though in Final Fantasy. I mean, I've played that so many times. I thought that they just show up at the door and then you just go with
the first person.
I was fairly certain that if you reject,
because it was so finite,
to go on a date with somebody, and it's like. If you clear the threshold for like Barret or something and you say no, I think it always defaults on Aerith if you reject the first person.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
That's wild. I really want, so Tifa is the one that I'm after.
Right.
Obviously. Red 13 is the one I'm most curious about. I want to know if that's possible.
Right.
I love Red.
His character is written very well, and
so
it's funny because
when
he started, I was like, he's kind of dry, you know? But that's sort of the
point.
Yeah. It's good.
And then when he starts talking about his, when you get the chocobos and light spoilers, he starts mentioning like his sense of smell is like super off, and I'm just like, wow, this is some interesting character development that they decided to just inject.
Love that.
They didn't have to.
He's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Did everybody else, the first time you got on a chocobo, see what Red looked like riding a chocobo?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
The most stupid.
I've been using photo mode a lot to inspect like posters on walls and like similar to that. Like, how are these animations looking? And it's
Yeah,
it's been interesting. I've been taking a lot of pictures.
There were definitely some silly moments.
Really?
So it's funny because Liz and I were talking about this before about a certain part of the game where you get to choose outfits and shit. I was mentioning that you're just using photo mode a lot. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, they look great in their new outfits.
I mean, it's great.
Yeah, we all picked that middle outfit, right?
All right,
we'll talk about this after.
Yeah.
It was interesting. All right, we'll talk about that later.
So, yeah. Anyway. There are silly moments, but they're actually kind of growing on me. I feel like you just kind of have to lean into it and remember also that, like, those moments are kind of part of Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
That, like, there is this weird sort of silly humor and, like, yeah, Cloud is, like, the straight man, but there's all this sort of chaos going on around him. And
Cloud is
Once I accept that, now I can see the like, charm in, you know, Red dressing up in human clothes. That part was crazy.
See, it's...
and, and I also... I like the... Some of the minigames that are purposeful, I like more. Like, the ones where you're just running around doing the same thing over and over, you know, in the open world, those are annoying. But, like...
Fort Condor or something like that.
Like, Fort Condor... Yeah, you know, and I'm not usually a huge, like, minigame, inside game person, but... And some of them, I think, it's just kind of personal preference, it's one you like. But in general, I think they are pretty well thought out. Like, I like some of the games that you play in... Costa del Sol.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like, I'm enjoying those. I really liked the one with Red. Mm-hmm. That one was fun. And some of, like, there's some Rocket League. Yeah, basically Rocket League. Yeah. That one was really fun.
I was good at that one. I felt good, at least. Yeah.
Right? Crush that time.
330, try 140.
Right? Exactly. They give you so much time.
Yeah.
So, so as much as we were talking on the other mini games, I feel like.
Yeah, it's like, why can't all the minigames be similar?
Yeah, when they put in the actual, like, effort to create something, then it can be good.
Yeah. See, and that's just what I want. I want all of the aspects of the game to have
that level of care.
Level of care and attention. Right. Like, attention and intention.
Yeah.
I will say that I am I am often surprised by how much care is put into stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like... Yeah, like, I mean, it's easy to look at, you know, the outpost towers, the life stream, you know, hit the three buttons thing or the stupid clock puzzle with the summons.
And I'm glad we got rid of, like, that out of the way early.
Yeah, it's like those are just throwaway, right? But then you look at stuff like...
I like the piano.
I did not expect the dolphin minigame to be what it was, right? And that was dope, and I enjoyed that. And yeah, the piano's phenomenal. It's probably the, like, you have to compare it to The Last of Us guitar. And it's like, this piano is way better than The Last of Us guitar. It's like, you know, similar concept, but like now you have chords and everything. It's great.
Yeah.
But all of that kind of stuff, I think, matters a lot. I just did last night was me smashing my head against the wall for a rhythm-based button-pressing minigame that made its return from Final Fantasy VII Remake. And God, that was so fucking annoying. Jesus Christ.
What was it? What are you talking about?
The workout one.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was afraid that's what you were going to say.
Yeah.
Dude, 2 o'clock in the morning last night.
Yeah.
Or no, 2 nights ago.
Dude.
Oh no, last night.
Rough. Yeah. Rough.
That was really rough.
It's just, like, fine up until the final difficulty. Yeah. Final difficulty is an absolute nightmare.
That was the pull-ups in the remake, right?
Yeah.
That was rough.
And like the squats and stuff.
Yeah.
So...
Anyway,
in general, though, I am like that kind of stuff reminds like I feel like is a reminds me of the charm of like Final Fantasy games.
Yeah.
They have like these special moments that are outside of what you like. I feel like in Final Fantasy 16, it has that combat and it's good, but that's what it has.
Yeah.
Like any way that you are interacting with that game mechanically is combat and like.
I'd say at this point, I'm more impressed by the 16 boss fights than the 7 boss fights. The 16 boss fights, like I think of that Garuda fight, Yeah. And that was that epic as fuck. Like those moments, that Titan fight.
That Titan one was great. Yeah.
Yo, like, not the other Titan fight. Not the big Titan fight.
Yeah.
The first Titan fight.
Yeah, yeah, the first one.
I don't think so I'm gonna have good. I don't think I'm gonna have a problem going off of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and going directly back into 16.
Dude, you're about to go into the final boss, man. And the final boss of 16 is 16? So good.
Yeah.
Like that's that is a fucking climax, man. That's a it's so good.
God. Yeah. All right.
Anyway.
Square's killing it. Square's killing it.
Yeah.
I'm very, very pleased with Final Fantasy VII so far.
I am too. Yes. I wonder whether or not it's because all of the best parts outweigh all of the shitty parts. But then my question is always like, well, why even add the shitty parts? But that's fine. Like overall, it's a solid like 7-8 in my book so far. I mean, I'm enjoying it. Like nostalgia is bringing it up to a 9. But I would say like if I was trying to be like, I don't know, real about it.
I would, even though I was giving it a hard time in the beginning, I feel like where it is now is sort of exactly what I want.
Yeah.
I would say it's pretty high.
Yeah.
I'm
in 9 territory for sure.
Yeah. Especially if it sticks the landing, I think it's going to be, I feel like even though we're pretty far into the game, like we don't know quite like what they're gonna do with the story. Are they gonna follow the original story or not? And what point is, like, I'm not sure where it's gonna,
I assume it's gonna be longer than we think, and I think it's going to, I'm hoping that it surprises us.
Yeah.
Like that's kind
I think
of,
and I think it will.
I think it will too. I distinctly remember in Remake there was a number of times where I was like legitimately like, I did not expect that.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought they handled it in a way that was like respectful of the material and acknowledges the person behind the screen.
Yeah.
You know, like they knew that people like us would be playing this game.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're like, like when there's that sort of interplay, I'm like, this is how you do a remake.
Like,
you know?
Yeah. And I also think that the decisions they made in that game were specifically to tell us like, you shouldn't be expecting this to happen like exactly the way that you've seen it before.
Yeah.
So like I'm not playing assuming that everything is going to be exactly the same, right? Like anytime I get to a moment, I'm like, it could go this way, it could go this way, like, and that you still have that potential to be surprised, I guess, of like not knowing exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'll say this as of right now, I would say the things that I like the least about this game, I actually like less than the things I liked the least about 16. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I remember like
are you saying like the lows are lower?
The lows are higher than 16's lows.
Yeah. Which ones are, I don't know what you're saying, trying to say.
I was less offended by the worst aspects of 16.
Okay. So the low, okay. Like, so in 7 Rebirth, lows are lower, meaning that like the bad parts of the game are worse.
I think it has fewer bad parts, but they're more obviously like I can point to them like, this is filler.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas in 16, I'm like, this is a poorly designed side quest and maybe not the most fun, but it's not deliberately placed here to fill time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
even though it kind of is.
I know what you're saying.
I don't know. There's something there. There's something.
I know what you're saying.
That's more of like a retrospect in defense of 16. Because I feel like, I don't know. I think 16 is a very good game.
Yeah.
Like a very good game. I think 7 is a much better game right now, just on its face. But
I would say that the moments, the things that are problematic in 7 maybe seem lazier.
Yeah. Well, I think it's
like
just,
so
even
though
too,
they both are filling time, like it just it seems in 7 I feel like it's more generic and cookie cutter of like other games.
It's like too blatant, you know.
Yeah.
It's like
what I mean. That's what makes it feel like lazy to me. It's just like they're literally like, whoop, who cares? It's like, and it's gonna be like right in your face.
There's nothing in this open world. We gotta do something. Well, Horizon and Assassin's Creed, they were doing things, right?
It's like I was collecting sand in 16, but like that also tied into a bigger quest line.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, maybe that quest line was dragged out too far to the point where now
there were too many times you were collecting sand. But.
Yeah. But in 7, I'm like, I'm literally just coming and scanning this rock. And then I have to go scan 2 more rocks.
I'm honestly not really sure what the point of scanning the rocks is, other than like it gives you it tells you like other things show up on the map once you scan the rocks. Right.
But
that happens after the first time you scan a rock.
Yeah.
After you scan a rock, it tells you, like, go to this place, and then you can get more transmuter stuff.
I've experienced one.
And
right.
then
yeah.
when you scan the next rock, then nothing happens?
Yeah, I only experienced one time where it was like, you can't do this thing because you need to scan more rocks. And I was like, oh.
I honestly didn't even question what the rocks were about. I just did it.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't, I'm not even yeah. quite sure what... Because, Chadley, I don't care. Like, you start yeah. talking and, like, see, this information maybe I should have, but, like, it takes too long for me to get it, and it's not interesting as I receive it.
I will say that I appreciate the fact that they took that one moment in Final Fantasy VII, 1997 version, of finding a Mako spring
yep.
And turning yeah. it into something. Like, that's kind of cool.
I wish it was better.
I yeah. do like hearing that little sound bite.
Yeah.
But I also hate that I've heard it 7 times now.
I yeah. will okay
because it feels like it's robbing the magic a little bit.
Speaking on behalf of the music, though, the music has been on point every single time.
Absolutely sublime.
Every single time, and even like the subtlest like moments where you're like in a place that should have this song, it does.
Yeah, yeah.
It does have that song. It's not just some random stuff that you heard from the open world. It's its own song.
I think I'm secretly waiting for. Like the track that's going to surprise me the most, because it's all the tracks that I want to be there are there and are the best versions of those songs I've ever heard. But I still think back to Corneo's Mansion in mm-hmm. Remake,
right?
And when you fight as Tifa and Aerith, like that song is burned into my yeah. mind forever because it was so out of nowhere and so appropriate for. The feeling that you had in that moment, yeah. I was like, "God damn, this is so good."
Dude, they really
no
know.
Idea what that sounds like.
The last thing
I'll play the song for you, and you'll remember.
The last thing I'll just mention is like speaking on behalf of like no like they're making the game for people like us specifically who understand these things. It's like in Remake when they introduced like the Kill House boss,
yeah,
it was just such a random one off thing that
yep.
everybody remembers, but totally. Had no context. Yeah. They're doing it over and over and over again in this game, and it's been delightful.
Yeah.
Delightful.
Yeah.
It's been delightful.
Sleeping guy.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of
even the
nods.
Dolphin thing, like, that was like, I mean, even the, oh my God, there's just yeah. so much.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's put a pin in it, everyone.
Yeah.
This has been a great conversation. I'm sure we will have more conversations to come about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
I think this would be a good game to do a spoiler cast for.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Oh, for sure. I'm definitely going to do like a hard mode playthrough afterwards too. So I feel like this is going to be around for a while. But I really
yeah,
want
you
to
told
play
me
Unicorn Overlord game.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm going to jump it directly back into the hard mode. But when you told me what the platinum hour count would be,
yeah, you
what
want
was
to know
it?
What you want to know what the hour count for the platinum trophy is
for 7?
Yeah, it requires 2 playthroughs.
Yeah, I don't know.
150 to 200 hours,
yeah.
which is honestly, I feel like. Probably inaccurate. There's no way it takes 200 hours.
I think it's going to be a long ass game.
I think it's going to be longer than we expect, for sure.
I expect it to be pretty long.
I would assume right now,
like,
we
I feel
are
like,
not even halfway.
I would say,
right? I feel like we're like, I'm like,
what would
what,
you say?
30, 40 hours in, and I feel like maybe we're a little less than halfway. Like, I think it's going to be a 100 hour game.
Yeah. I feel like they're flirting with another side of the game that we haven't even... like, it's going to come.
Right.
It's similar to, like, Last of Us Part 2, where it's like, oh, okay, well, you're done with Ellie's part. Now here's an entire another half of the game.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to happen.
Like, I know for sure...
I hope it happens.
I know for sure there's at least 3 other locations. No way we're not going to at least these 3 other locations.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
there's probably going to be a location that we don't even know about yet.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be, a, like... I mean,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
we'll see.
We will see.
Yeah.
For now, listeners, thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the Crit Rate Podcast. Be sure to go to critrate.io to get your gamer profile. We just added this new feature.
Oh, yeah.
To the site. So if you're on critrate.io and you go down to your unrated game.
Hold on. It's still in test. It's not in production.
Still
yet.
In test. We have a new feature coming soon where it will randomly generate new games for your that exist on the website for you to rate. So every time you log into the website, there's going to be something new for you to do and interact with and rate and review.
Perfect.
So please come to the site, check it out, see what we got going on, and we will certainly see you next week on another episode of the Crit Rate Podcast. Thank you, Liz, and thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Liz.
We'll see you on the next one. Bye, everybody.
Bye.